You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.
I'm getting used to the music on LA Talk Radio, so I try to find the rhythm in it. Hey, my kindreds out there, what is, I tell you, we have these four planets for those of you that understand a little bit about astrological or planetarial or astronomical information. We have our four planets in retrograde, so things are very intense. Things are being brought to the surface. We can all see very deeply what's going on. So before I get into the show today, let's announce our sponsor, Kevin Pike. Hey, Kevin! Coldwell Banker, Senior Real Estate and Probate Specialist, 818-571-1508. He will take care of anything. I mean, seriously, you guys, he will go and sit at your house if you need him to while you do things, when you're selling, buying, going through things, divorce, separation, whatever you're going through, he's there for you. He's wonderful. Again, 818-571-1508, Kevin Pike. So let's jump into it. So recently, I had a conversation with a few friends about the subject of metaphysics. There are a lot of people that dibble and dabble in metaphysics, like people dibble and dabble in a lot of different subjects. I personally kind of can get a little itchy about that because I've had to not only pay to study for astrology, pay for classes. It's been 45, 50 years now that I've learned about astrology. So first of all, let me just say something just to say it, just so people can have correct information. There are many different branches of astrology. The most popular astrology is natal astrology, or part of humanistic astrology, where you study the personality types of human beings. Then you have horary astrology, where you can ask questions based on the hour or something when something happens. Vedic astrology, you have Chinese astrology, sidereal astrology. I mean, it's a lot of judicial astrology. Esoteric astrology, there are really, you guys, if you're going to say things just to be truthful and honest, please study your craft and at least know what you're talking about. So first of all, then the second thing about sun signs are what we grow into. And yes, there are a lot of people that go, oh yeah, I know Scorpios, or I know Cancers, or I know Tauruses, or I know Aquarians, and this is the way they act. And one reason they may act that way is that they have a strong stellium in that sign. But in regards to astrology and what astrologers know to be true, the rising and the ascendant is what we're experiencing. A stellium means more than one section of the chart has a lot of that same sign. A lot of Scorpio, a lot of, they got like 10 planets in Scorpio, or, you know, it's in one Scorpio's house, the eighth house, or Pluto is aspecting a lot of planets, which all are related to the sign of Scorpio. I'm trying not to get too deep, but just to help you understand, so at least you can speak. If you don't believe me, take the time to go to AmericanFederationofAstrologers.com, which is where all professional astrologers go take their test to see what they know, because they're doing charts and they're charging people exorbitant amounts of money to do this. See this? These are astrology charts. This is what people work on when they do astrology. They have charts that we have to chart and put degrees, and it's a lot of math, and it's 30 degrees in each sign and in the houses. So that's what real astrology is. So just to let you know, I just wanted to say that so we can get that out of the way. Basically, doesn't matter what sign, we all are born, get old, get sick, and die. Those are the four cycles of death. Anybody that's lived long enough will tell you that. Our job is to find the pleasure when we can and make the best of it and learn everything we can to be our best selves. Now, our guest today, which is what I wanted to talk about astrology, because he seems to know quite a bit, and I love people that can talk that language. He is not only a global and in some cases a galactic holds a galactic position in the world of music. His eclectic style, his taste are gallant, wrapping themselves probably around every genre of music you can think of, R&B, soul, funk, jazz, and even hip hop, working with legions and legends of famous stars, Nicki Minaj, Macy Gray, Common, He even worked with actor Catherine Zeta-Jones, the fabulous violinist Idina Menzel, who I love her work. Hall & Oates, Patti LaBelle, who hasn't he worked with? He is the founder and member, co-member of the group Family Stand. They are best known for their song Ghetto Heaven, which is a chart topper, and all their succinct things off that album are chart toppers. May I welcome to the set my Lord, Peter Lord.
Yeah. I'm happy to be here.
Hey.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
Yes. So thanks for being on the show. So let's just get right into it. I spent some time since you and I were talking about astrology before we got onto the show, and I don't meet many people that can talk the language. It's always nice to talk to people that actually know the language, not just dibble and dabble. They know the language. So I wanted to your single Boom from your first single debut album, Songs from the Eighth Dimension, which is dropping on August 29th. But let's talk about the single that dropped on July 4th, Boom. Mm-hmm. How did you come up with the name Boom? Why did you say Boom? Because the first thing that came in my mind was Jean-Michel Basquiat, Boom for real. And then also, why did you choose the eighth dimension and not the fifth and sixth dimension? What is it about the eighth dimension that's not reside in the fifth and sixth and seventh?
Wow, that was a heavy first question. Okay. hearing a little echo, maybe should I turn down, but I'm okay. Yeah, that's okay. I'm good. Well, like most songs and all songs that I write, it's pretty much inspiration and perspiration. I don't believe in that dirty word or dirty term, writer's block, because I try and never assume, because that assumes that it's coming from you. And that you're not a vessel, that something's coming through you. So having said that, how that connects to your question, you know, Boom, it was actually part of a lot of the songs on this new album were and will still be eventually part of a television musical project, a series I was developing and still developing called Love Junkies. And it was actually at first on the way to the meeting about that project, how I write a song, you know, I kind of heard the lyrics or the melody for the verse. And then when you come with an idea for a song, you just kind of sing any words. So when I got to, you know, took another chance, a better letter, it all went, and then Boom just came out, and I'm like, oh, okay, I like that, Boom. So and so you develop the idea, you know, from there, and that's how the song, you know, really developed. And the song and the album is about, you know, going through a journey, making those mistakes, and learning the lessons from that journey. How it connects to us, how it also connects. I wanted to jump in on what you were talking about, astrology, and his one of the key arguments I say to all the people who are very scientific. Oriented and I appreciate science and the brain power science, and that all that has to be connected, just like with songwriting, something holistic, is that the best way to explain astrology to non-believers scientifically is only one thing, is that astrology is gravity, period. And this how other bodies affect other bodies, how, you know, vibrations and music affects other things. It's all something vibrational. Whether it's standing still, or apparently standing still, or in motion. So that's how all those things relate. Now I think about music and astrology and astronomy and all those things. And the eighth dimension, someone asked me if I was just starting out and I was 19, even though I'm 39. Is that if I wasn't doing music now, I probably would have been an astrophysicist, because I find all that those things extremely interesting, you know, and quantum physics and astrology and the ideas and science and how, you know, in terms of dimensions and music, sound and lyrics, people can, and anything in art, people can get from it what they wish to get from it. It depends on which dimension they resonate on. And a wonderful person, my wife, Rachel, said to me, shout out to her because I know she might be listening. When we first, on the first date, she had mentioned how Toy Story, it mentioned you can appreciate art on any type of dimension. People can get to it where it hits them. And on one level, boom, I'd resonate that it's about addiction and find that point where of knowing return when you realize all those things you went through just led you here and it went boom. Mm-hmm. However, outside of the personal, the timing of putting out the song July 4th, so tied to what's going on politically in this country and in the world socially. You know, this country, just like a lot of us personally, may or may not have forgotten the lessons that we've learned. And now with T-Rump, everything has gone boom. You know, so that's how it all correlates. That's why the timing of it, and you know, it's kind of a esoteric, universal kismet. I suppose. You know,
that is funny, boy. You're really in tune. As you are writing, when you're writing and performing, and I believe you told me a moon in Scorpio, so there's going to be a part of you that may want to be more private, like, if I write, I need to write just me in the studio by myself. I don't need any distractions at all. I just want to be concentrated, focused on what I'm doing. How much of that connection do you keep when you have to work with other people? Can you find the solitude that you need within the framework of being around your mates and people like that, even your family?
Well, actually, it's funny you should mention that. It's like I think about this, that quote from that Steve Jobs biography. I was the Social Network, when he says leaders lead and hacks show for a show of hands. Okay. Well, I think when it comes to art, the most important thing, like I saw something from the Great Philosophy website Instagram the other day. Something I've always, you know. The most important thing to have, whether it's with a group of people or by yourself, is to have clarity. You know, the universe doesn't really judge good or bad. We would like it to judge good or bad, but it doesn't. It just judges clarity. And how that regards to art and your question is that I'm definitely somebody, at least from the creative side, I personally don't need to hear a lot of voices and not a bunch of opinions, blah, 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 this, that. I think clarity is the most important thing. Now, technically, you know, as I've been accused of not being able to screw in a light bulb, but I can't screw in a light bulb. Okay. You know, and from the technical aspect, you know, you know, I often, like a great engineer, my engineer worked on this album, Josh Gannett, or I have one of the songs, I might have, my bandmate from the family stand, who I'm still very close to, my producing partner from years. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Worked on this album, but he helped on one track in terms of mixing was V. Jeffrey Smith from the family stand. Or I might ask Sandra from the family stand, oh, what do you think about this song? What do you think should be the first single? Stuff like that. Also to answer your question, I don't write from a place where I try to guess what other people will like, or this is what the people will like. Okay. Writing for them, I never do that because you can't assume people. A lot of people want to be led, but it's not so much about leading or come from that ego place. It's just about having clarity about what you want to say and what you want to do, and not from so much a specific standpoint, but more a thematic kind of standpoint in a way. You know?
Mm-hmm. And as I was saying before we came on live, is that I could feel every. I think that's what your intention is to have the listener and the audience and the fans feel what you're trying to get us to feel out here. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you, for you people that haven't heard Boom, please go on his channel and listen to it. And then when the album drops, you're going to be very shocked, because I'm telling you, you did cross over. I felt the crossover. And I know enough about music to know that it's an award-winning album. Okay. You know, it's your debut. And you went from way back, starting in R&B, being born in Brooklyn, taking all of that Black culture with you, to stretching it further into a market that doesn't really understand that when we do rock or we do other things and bring that culture with us, it changes the framework of what you thought was, whatever you thought was rock is not rock anymore. It's something else.
Yeah.
That's why Hendrix's work was so profound, because it came in and it kind of upset. It kind of tickled the belly of rock, I would say.
Yeah, no.
So, you want to say something?
No. I appreciate that. Like, it's another metaphor I like to use in terms of art. It's like once you add another element, it's tangential, goes in another direction, and people's perception of what people might say or ask, well, what's the genre of this music? What kind of music that do you do? And I'm like, well, not to be vague or be pompous, whatever. It's eclectic, but it's really unboxable, but it has all those elements of what you're saying. But yeah, it is rock. You know, and it's only or alternative, but the only thing we're not making that is the cultural perspectives and boxes and rules they want us to play by, and that's the only thing that changes it. If I look like a young artist, or a new contemporary artist like Shawn Mendes, who I love his work a lot, if he did this album, it'd be Shawn Mendes' album. It wouldn't be like, oh, we don't know what to do with this, that, and other, blah, 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 blah. And that happened with the Family Stand also. But it is what it is. Again, you are the general you. You as an artist have to have clarity about what you want to do and what you want to say.
Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that you were able to like your bio said, you were able to bend yourself around all of those different genres of music and still make it sound like I know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I can do all this and I know I'm not testing. I'm not testing a water. I'm not trying to go from R&B and jazz and hip hop into rock. I'm, I'm blending, and this is how it sounds when all of them come together. The public and the stations and whoever else out there for marketing promotion can box what they will. But when I heard what I heard personally, you're there. You're there all the way in. You're plugged into the socket, man. I felt it. I felt the plug in. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy has broke the mold. He's crossed something. He's done something that I haven't heard. I hadn't heard it. Even with the way you and Didi, is that her name, Didi Dion?
Didi,
her name was kind of a tongue twister. I'm like, Didi, yeah. I kept saying Didi Dion. And I'm like, Didi Dion. So.
Yeah, Didi Dion Gibson. She's featured in the Do What She Sings also, and she's a co-writer on Boom. Great singer, actress here in Los Angeles. And in terms of the sonically in the tone. It's just again not writing from a. It's just going through that filter of all my experiences. I mean, I grew up, loving, being a disciple of Stevie and the Beatles and Sly. So Stevie, Beatles, and Sly starts there. Stevie, Beatles, and Donny Hathaway, but I loved Led Zeppelin, and then elements of hip hop come and which are tonal and textural. And then loving like the early 90s kind of grunge and Nirvana and Soundgarden, which really harkens back still to maybe Beatles and Led Zeppelin if you really look at it. You really listen to it, so all those musical things. But also on sonically, I also loved composers like Gershwin and Burke Bacharach and people like that. So harmonically, the complexity of things appealed to me also. And just find that different, twinge or something. And the other thing is that I think the key is, at least for me personally, not that I did this consciously or unconsciously, but now I'm aware of it, is that I've never stayed stuck in a place. Like I didn't come, like people who would not know me because what I've lacked, I heard Bill Withers once say, was the show-off gene, believe it or not, despite the ugly rumors. I like the show-off gene. I didn't have the narcissistic, and it's not a bad thing too, but I didn't necessarily have the idea I wanted to be a solo artist. It was always to me about the art and wanting to project the art as best it could be presented. So within our own band, whether it was Sandra, Jeff, and myself, let's say I would write songs or do songs with them, I would think, oh, this song is better for Sandra to sing or Jeff to sing, or I'll sing this song because it kind of feels better and more natural for me. It's all about the song and telling stories. And so remaining, which has been good, the fact that I haven't focused on my music career creatively, and we'll talk about that later, but where my focus has been for the last 10 or 15 years. But even within the musical music context is that since you're never stuck, and people always accuse me of being ahead of my time, you know, 20 years ago, when you show back up, maybe you're right on time, you know.
Yeah, you are.
But not following trends, and they can't. I wasn't coming here to, like a lot of artists, are not knocking anybody or where they're coming from. But I didn't bring back the funk from the early 90s, or, you know, no. We're not doing the Running Man or do the, like, you know. We're not trying. We're here and now. And yes, we bring all those experiences with us. But
it's never going to go back.
Yeah.
We're not going to go back. We're moving into the future. I think that's part of the problem we're having as a species, is because everybody wants to stay in a place. I mean, you really think that this stuff is going to go on for the next 400 years and it's just never going to change. It's never going to change. I mean, just to think like that to me is not only unreasonable, it's unintelligent.
Yes.
Things have to change in order to progress. They must change. We can go around in a circle and maybe pick up a few things here and there and retain them, but it's still in the mixture of things moving forward and changing. But I wanted to ask you, because you sing quite a bit, and I was actually surprised by the sound and tone of your voice. Okay. You see, your voice came across much different than I would think. You know, it's not deep, but it's not soft either. It's like some kind of, again, a blend of these different things, I'm sure, in your experiences. Mm-hmm. And you've had the opportunity, I'm sure, again, to mix and blend in with a lot of different settings in your travels as a musician and a writer. So how do you keep your mental chops up from going senile and forgetting what you're doing and then smoke too much weed?
Ain't that old, but anyway.
But how do you keep that up, and how do you keep your throat in shape? Because your throat had to be in good shape to hit some of the notes you were hitting on some of the other songs.
Well, yeah, that's been a little bit of a problem because, like I might have said here before, I am originally from Brooklyn, New York, and I think moving out here to Los Angeles, I did get, I think what I used to hear people called Las Vegas throat and the dryness of air, the air here, and it's been an issue. And so, well, fortunately, like right behind me is where I recorded a lot of this stuff and vocals. That's my studio in Logic, you know, stuff. And and when you're just by yourself and you don't have to worry about anybody else singing, you just keep singing it till it comes out right and fits the story that you know you want to tell. And in terms of notes and singing, it's just a matter of, at a certain point of experience, you know what your voice can do or not do and how to work with it. And it has been a challenge because to a large extent, my focus in recent years has been, actually, I moved out here to Los Angeles to write film and television projects, right, as a screenwriter and filmmaker, not as a musician. And to a certain extent, I've kind of even played down the music side of my career until recently. And part of doing this album was not only to send the music and the message I felt that was timely to get out there, but to reestablish my artistic relevancy, that I had something to say, right, and relevant to now, and it wasn't coming from, like I said before, I'm not trying to bring back the old school when we did it right. No, there's great voices I hear now who are doing people are doing new stuff. Now, it's hard. You have to search them out, and they have their own niche audiences. But I felt that I had something current to say that was as current as anybody else. So,
and it sounds really, again, to the fans out there, you are in for a surprise. I was shocked. I was like, wow. I told you when I woke up this morning, I was full of the Lord.
No, okay. Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord and pass
Peter Amity. Lord, that is. Like Peter Lord, that is. Yeah. Such a great, such it's good stuff, man. I really, really appreciate having you on the show and being able to have a connection with you. And your work. I was wondering when you what do you think about the new genre of music, and not necessarily new genre of music, but it seems that we're in a time and place that your music is not so ahead. I mean, you're in the perfect time and place for what you're doing. Because right now, maybe 20, 30 years ago, people weren't ready to hear different philosophies and different ways of thinking. But because we are in a certain age and space is becoming more and more the, let's conquer space and put it all out there. Your music seems to fit right in. It still transcends what's going on presently. And again, people out there, I'm speaking from having heard some things about his music that maybe you haven't heard yet, but you'll hear them. And then knowing their background and Family Stand, I thought I was cool because I was the only person listening to Family. I'm like, oh, shoot, I got some stuff y'all ain't got. You know, I'm listening to Family Stand. And I didn't know that many people knew of Family Stan until I got a little older and I started researching more. And then before I asked you the question, before I wrap up what I want to ask you, when I was in the military, I'm a veteran, when I was in the military, I learned the R&B, jazz, and classic I learned from my dad, who was also in the military. So all the military guys had a kind of a broader way because they traveled and they got to be exposed to different things. The white guys taught me rock and trend music, you know, all of that kind of stuff because they were into that kind of stuff. And then the brothers were more heavily into R&B, jazz, hip hop, stuff like that. But I, because of that, it gave me the ability to have a very well-rounded scope of music. So I listen to all kinds of music. I mean, everything from Russian music to I know people over in Scandinavia and then their version of what music is and things like that is very interesting. So in your traveling into different countries and areas, what about the flavor and tones and sounds of other music you were able to incorporate not into your music, but into the sensuality and the feeling of what you had to say through your songwriting and through your music?
Well, especially with some of the earlier stuff. I mean, I loved North African music and Arabic music, and I also love salsa and Brazilian music and that. Not so much on that's not in this album, but in things I've done in the past, it's been present. This album was in terms of his music was more about the current sonics of where we are now, the sonic place, and story wise, the stories are relevant. Those certain stories are just the human condition, really dealing with addiction and suffering and politics and love. That's just humanity. That's just living. So that's always going to be relevant. I've heard Chrissy Jones used to say about the timeline doesn't change, it's the bottom that changes, it's the sonics, it's the surrounding. And why the title of the album is also Songs from the Eighth Dimension. At the center of everything else, I don't claim to be this, that, and the other as a singer or as a pianist or even producer, but as a songwriter, to me, that's the nuts and bolts and the core of what I have, a storyteller, songwriter. But also as a screenwriter, I see the direct correlation. That's why writing screenplays like songs are stories that have to be told in the context of time. You can't, unlike a novel, but in the context of a time, you want take the listener or the viewer on a journey. Mm-hmm. Then you have to build it. Then you pay off. It's that same kind of that element, you know. So that's what, you know, I try to, I don't think of it as it's an organic process for me at this point, to have all those elements in it.
Was it easy for you to go from, you said as a kid, you were always interested in all these things. Was it easy for you to go from R&B, jazz, gospel, and then into rock, and then back in R&B, and then back, you know, different things of going back and forth, and then move it all forward, as you said, 15 years later, and come up like, okay, I'm ready to say something now. I'm ready to speak.
It wasn't so much that. I mean, I might have been ready, but I might have been ready. I think to a certain extent, this putting this album now was a catharsis in the sense of I'd been focused on the film and TV industry in terms of getting these projects out I'm working on, had been working on, currently working on. But that's, as you know, living here, that's not a process that one person has a lot of control over.
Right.
Okay. And within music, at least you can produce the song, you can do it creatively, there's a lot of things. So it was more an oasis from that, and again to reestablish my relevancy as an artist that created that there was a direct correlation also to the film stuff. But it was just really about, I'm always free creatively, so that's always fun. I don't have to think about that stuff at all, really.
Okay.
The only thing that's ever difficult is the marketing and selling and other people. But in terms of me being by myself and creating, that's never a problem.
Yeah, that's not a problem. You're good with sitting inside of yourself. It's the other people that come and interfere. I love that part of being, having Scorpio in energetic field, because it gives you that ability to concentrate and detach and go within and do what you need to do and then pop back out if you need to. Yeah. But what I wanted to talk to you about is how a lot of, before I talk to you about, let's give another quick shout out to our wonderful sponsor.
Yes.
Kevin Pike, Coldwell Banker. He is a senior real estate and probate estate manager over there. He's a specialist in all of those things. At Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508. Again, Kevin Pike, senior real estate and probate specialist. At Coldwell Banker, 818-571-1508. Now back to Mr. Our Lord, Peter Lord. So Peter, you were talking about, what I was going to ask you is, a lot of musicians worry. They don't know how to bring themselves up to current time. And I hate to see people stuck somewhere. Like, well, you know, man, you can't do nothing now because the kids, you know, they're doing the AI and the GI and the BI. You know, I don't know, you know, it ain't good music. And I'm like, rather than be against them, why don't you take the time and go rap with those people you're talking about? And maybe y'all get together and they could probably learn from you, just like, because all the old cats that I was around, Ray Charles and all those guys, it was nothing but young people around them all the time. Nothing but kids. Yeah. Nothing but kids was around them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm like, do you think that AI and generative technology and all of these technologies have blocked music, or you think it's a way for music to find another and a different kind of expression?
Yeah, I think it can be used as a tool, and you just don't want the tool to use you and get out of hand. I mean, we have a video for Boom that I'm very proud of, that this director, Rio, his name is
Rio. Nice video, by the way.
Yeah, he did a great job. It's AI. Some people complain, like I heard a few comments that mentioned about, oh, it's kind of hollow to talk about social commentary and you have it on AI that uses, you know, all these resources. And not that the point isn't well taken from a philosophical point of view. However, if you're on this earth, if you're using radio, if you're not in the mountains, you have already served the beast, okay? If you have an iPhone, you are serving the beast. Having said that, how can you use those tools in a way that eventually, as a director, Rio, as we were discussing it, he made a good point, is that one day those very tools that are using the resources will provide a solution to make those resources be used more effectively. that AI in the future will be more effective. And iPhones and all this technology, we can use the resources to make them actually serve the planet better. So also, everything in life is an evolutionary process. Mm-hmm. And we're going to evolution. And when you understand that, then you don't get into to a mindset of what's happening now isn't happening because of this, that, and the other. Or this AI, I don't know what to do. Yes, there are things. I think that there's lines that once you cross a certain line, just like in life, then this point of no return, kind of get to a point of no return. We can have for all those who are upset about AI imagery, and they have a right to be. It should not replace. It should not like originality should not be replaced. You shouldn't, and they're really not just they're just mimicking. If you like have a new artist and that person doesn't really exist. That's almost, on one level, it's almost like doing animation, but there's just certain lines. And if the core of the creativity is AI generated, then that's something else. And I think that's the lines we have to cross. But if you, like with Boom, for example, if the initial idea its origins are organic, then AI can be used as a tool to bring that out. That video that we did for Boom, That would have cost $10 million, back in the day, or over headshots, people car crashing, so you use the technology to in a holistic way to get to the core messages and images and ideas we're trying to get across.
And I believe that there is a good side. I personally love technology. I was waiting on technology to catch up to me.
Yes, exactly.
Because to me, real pure technology is what Star Trek and all those sci-fi fans. I'm a huge sci-fi fan.
Yes.
For those people out there, to me, real technology is press your button on a button and zoom up. That's real technology.
Yes, right.
But we're not there yet. We're still at the, we got to take it slow because some people still don't know how to use a phone, a cell phone. Mm-hmm. They don't really know what AI and TI is. They don't understand anything. And it's unfortunate that people don't make themselves aware, although you don't have to be embedded in technology 90% of your day. You still should be aware of what technology is and where it's taking everything. It is something to be aware of. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this. What do you want us to get? I want to hear where we can find out more about Boom and your upcoming album, Songs from the Eighth Dimension. And where can we find out more about you, your social media tags? But what do you want us to get from Peter Lord? What do you want us to feel? Because I felt everything. And if anybody out there is sensitive like I am, and you're really into music and music helps you to heal and it's there for you when nobody human is there for you, that you have to take notes and synchronicities and make them work for wherever you are, it's important. It's a beautiful, absolutely stunning piece of work, honorable for any Grammy beyond a Grammy. Is that good? And I know my music, and I've been in. I'm an expert at this field. It's a hit. A hit.
I appreciate.
So what do you want us to get from all of this?
Just for them, for people's minds to be open to listening to the music. I think it's timeless music, from 19 to 90 or less. 9 to 90. There's something. For you, and only in the sense that what we spoke about earlier and what resonates with you, where the music meets you, it can meet you there because it's a number of levels. So it comes from that. But I remember letting some friends hear it who listen to music, and they were like, "Well, I like to be soothed by my music." And I've never been that artist. I have to admit, coming from the music that I love. I'm wished to more motivate than to soothe, but I think through motivation and speaking about things that hit the emotional buttons of people, I think that's not. And I understand people need everything doesn't have to be Shakespeare, it doesn't have to be Tchaikovsky or it doesn't have to be Charlie Parker, and there's a time and place in that, but some people get soothed by knowing they're not the only ones who are struggling. Some people get soothed by the fact that they're not alone in this. I think I personally find them more soothing than, you know, there's a place to be in, there's a place, and I understand how, like people who like more to drink wine and listen to beautiful Chardet, lovely melodies and like and songs like that.
And cry.
Yeah, and cry. That's cool. I dig that, you know, and that's, and they want
to. I've been there. I know.
Yeah. Sometimes I want to stay here, you know, I'm more like a little bit of tick. I'm trying to get you like here, you know, and that can be soothing in its own way too. So I think you'll find something that one will find something that they will resonate with. And the thing is this, one thing I've learned from a certain thing in life, people who resonate with you are going to resonate with you. And it really is just that, you know, and if they're not going to resonate with it,
they're
not going to resonate with it. Yeah.
Well, it holds a very wide range of emotions. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go anywhere. There is fun in there. There is, you know, tranquility and peace, you know, depending on your mode of activity or what you like to do to relax yourself. There's some of that in there. You're still working with the Family Stand, correct?
Yeah, I mean at this point, the Family Stand is like it's family, it's way of life. Because I love Jeff and my partner Jeff Smith and Sandra St. Victor and Leslie Lemon and Tom Hammer and the guitarist and Marcus Machado, people who've been involved in and out of the band and the core members, but they're family, so it's nothing that we're ever not apart or together. I was texting with Jeff today, or I'll send a text to Sandra or, you know, Leslie or other people from the, you know, from the band. So, you know, that's always still a part of my life. It's part of my life.
It's you. It's a part of your life. I was going to say, make a play on words that you're family and you're still standing.
Yeah, exactly. And that wasn't even the intention of the group. We actually wanted to be called The Stand. And then, you know, somebody said, oh, blah, blah, blah. But I told the story before. But so yeah, it's you know, that's the music is there. That's what kind of we're at with stuff.
The fact that one of the testaments you can have in terms of what your mindset and how you believe is that you're still in a group that's still together. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of the groups are broken down. They're not performing at all. The half of them are dead. They ain't doing nothing, you know, or whatever, you know. So the fact that that the group is still around and your ties are still prominent and that you're still working together. I'd like to hear, you know, I don't know, do you guys plan to do an album yourself together again or just you right now?
Well, plans right off. I mean, we were planning to put out another album. I mean, we were actually going to do something and do a live tour of our most creatively loved album or Moon and Scorpio, which it was called, Moon and Scorpio.
I love that, yeah. I thought that was funny.
And that happened right the day that COVID hit and all the tour was canceled. So, we don't really have any plans offhand, but in the future, I would love for us to do a live album one day or something, you know, or something like that. But it hasn't been any live dates and I may do some live things for this, just acoustic sets maybe, but it's really more about, I have in my mind some plans to put out two more solo albums, so it'll be three. That'll be my, you know, my little volume set. But all the stuff I'm doing is really beyond just, and I don't mean just, but beyond the music framework. It's really about telling bigger stories, my film and television projects, some are music related, but some of them aren't music related. One of them happened to be a biopic about Thelonious Monk. Another thing is about the rise and fall of the Moor Empire in Spain. So this things that are expanding this sci-fi. So there's all types of stories and musicals besides this Love Junkies musical and other things. So it's all about creating, in terms of myself, and another reason why I probably didn't do a solo album before is I never tried to think of myself as a star. I want to be a universe.
You are a star.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. But it's not about being a star. But by creating a universe, you're creating a world of creativity, and it, whether I realize it or not, it would be easy for me, oh, wouldn't it be easy for me? I wish it would be easy for me to just do booty, just have fun, get down music. Not that I'm not just as superficial and as other people, and if you can't go there. However, there seems to be another intention. I won't say a higher intention, because that kind of implies that if you're doing something else, then you're not the same level. No, it's about, it's almost like you feel music almost like the chakras in your body. And then you're feeling mm-hmm. those chakras, you know, mm-hmm. it hits you here, it hits you lower, it hits you here.
It resonates.
It resonates. But the music that I tend to write just, it goes like this. So, and I mm-hmm. think, and once music, it, once music like this, say, even if it's like James Brown, and you're hearing like Sex Machine or Soul Power, if you hit that spot so hard, you hit that vibration so hard, it's not just here, it goes boom. Like it just goes boom, you know, literally. And art does that when it hits that, when it hits that spot and generates it. If it's just like some funk that you hear, it's like, oh, that's cool. Then it kind of goes beep, and then you hear it and it's a hit and it's gone. But yeah. if it's Ecstasy by the Ohio Players.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, yeah. That's my favorite songs of all time.
My favorite song.
That funk is so transcendent, you know. Boom,
the whole album with the bald head and the sister. I can see it now in my mind.
The bump, you know.
Oh my gosh.
You know, when see, that's the beauty about music, and that's
loving
why
loving you.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's why I don't care about the genre, because if you hit that spot right, you know, it can be James Brown hits it like Beethoven does it. Stevie Wonder hits it like, you know, like Duke Ellington might hit it. You know, Burt Bacharach will hit it like Kendrick Lamar will hit it. Because when you hit that spot, it's all relevant. And musicians and artists, they don't play that game. They just know what resonates with them. It's just the filters. The filters say, oh, this isn't this, this isn't that. But the one thing and this is the first time really focusing and putting the energy out behind putting a solo album, it kind of confirms that if you get it out there and it resonates, the people will hear it and listen and be like, oh, I wasn't expecting this from this. Who, what? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I do. Well, listen, I could talk all day because I love meeting people that are kindreds and you have a similar resonance and you understand the language. I want to know, where can we find out more about the album? What are your social media tags? And then we're going to roll out of here.
I'm on Instagram primarily. So you can find me on IG, Peter Lord or Peter Lord Moreland. So Peter Lord on Instagram, mm-hmm. Peter Lord Official on YouTube. And, you know, get that video and the album, August 29th, Songs from the Eighth Dimension.
They are from that dimension too. I was like in there, man. I had a hard time going to bed. Look, I can't go to sleep now. They done reached all in my stuff. But anyway, that's fun. I want to give a shout out to Sam Hassan, our wonderful LA Talk Radio owner and engineer. Thanks, Sam.
Thank you,
for
Sam.
Doing such a wonderful job and allowing us to shine every week. Also, don't forget to support, share, and like our YouTube channels, including Lord's, Peter Lord Moreland's channel on YouTube. It means the world to us. It helps us grow as a channel. And we are in a world of numbers, whether you want to be or not. We are in some numbers. So numbers are important. They are not everything, but they are important. So don't forget about that. Also, don't forget me under IG, Osiris_Munir_ the painter. I'm an abstract expressionist painter. I do all of these things, including talk to you once a week on Thursdays. That's why I don't do every day, because I have other things that I enjoy doing. I'm an artist. Yeah. Okay, so for yous out there, don't forget that I love you. I like you for being able to stand up to adversities, overcome obstacles, kick yourself in the butt every day, get up and do the doggone thing, whether you want to do or not. And I love you just for being you and for being on the planet and making a better place. See you next week. And don't forget to smile. It works wonders. Bye. Bye. Thanks, our guest, Peter Lord. Bye.
You are listening to 15 Minutes, the show with Osiris Munir, only on LA Talk Radio.